Hello and welcome. This is Undone Redone, the podcast where we celebrate scandalous grace. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Melody.
How are you guys doing today? We're so excited that you joined us.
Undone Redone is not the name that we would have chosen for a podcast years ago. I was thinking this morning, Melody, what might have been the title if someone either in college or, you know, a few years after college had approached us about doing a show, and with all of our knowledge and wisdom that we thought we had, what are some thoughts that you would have maybe given that show as far as a title?
Oh, probably Righteous Living with Trey and Melody Levern, or
Saving the World with Trey and Mel.
Yes.
How to Have It All Together with Trey and Mel.
Yes. Something terribly awful like that.
Well, and that's really what we believe, though.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up believing that Christians were supposed to have it all together. Mm-hmm. And I can even remember thinking, Christians are supposed to have it all together, and where we don't, we deal with in secret until we do. It was all about having a very, very intact reputation and managing that reputation, mm-hmm. which I did as best I could for about 30 years. Well, today we're really kind of diving into a topic that I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, and as I introduced the show, we talked about this concept of scandalous grace. Mm-hmm. And that is something I didn't really understand. And even maybe as you hear those two words together, scandal, most often when we use that word, it's usually in a negative context. Mm-hmm. And grace, obviously, in a positive context. But putting scandal and grace together, scandalous grace, that's really been something that I have learned on my journey. And really, the gospel has come alive in that discovery. Because the more I really begin to understand the gospel and grace, the more I realize what an amazing scandal it really is, that God would love us as we are, because for so many years, I thought it was about striving, because during that time, when I thought I had it all together, grace wasn't a scandal or very amazing, because I thought it was based on what all I was doing.
Well, and I think too, you know, we are going to be talking about being okay today. We're going to be talking about, you know, whether you feel like you are okay or whether you feel like you're not okay. But I think even moving into that a little bit, just asking yourself some questions. Just, are you tired and exhausted right now? Do you have this, you know, imaginary goal or these unmet expectations that you are trying to attain that literally has just gotten you to a place where you feel completely out of control? Are you looking back 10 years ago, and did you expect you to be where you are today? You know, is your life, are you at a place where maybe your life is unraveling before you? Just really all these types of things are kind of what we're going to move into to kind of find out, you know, what gets us to those places where we feel like either we are okay or we're not okay, those types of things.
Well, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. That is true, but maybe somebody listening, you hear that, especially that very end, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. Let's out of the gate, you know, make it very clear. What we're not saying in that is that it doesn't matter what we do. You know,
right.
Hey, there's grace that abounds, and hey, let's just, you know, sin as, you know, much as we want, because God's going to forgive us and all that. We're not talking about cheap grace.
Mm-mm.
Or anything like that. But the reality is that we're not okay. Scripture makes it very clear that we're not okay. And even at Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'd always heard that as it related to people who were unsaved.
Mm-hmm.
But verse 24 says, and are justified by his grace as a gift. And even though I knew that we were not saved by work, so much of my trying to live the Christian life was really about striving.
Mm-hmm.
And so very clearly out of the gate, you know, we realize, and Scripture makes very clear what God's standard is. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect. You must be perfect as your Father is perfect. So there's no debating what the standard is.
Mm-hmm.
But the real question that we want to kind of unpack is, how do we attain that? How do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
What we did for so many years, as we've alluded to, was through striving. It was through effort. It was through sweat. It was through performance. It was through trying to have it all together and creating a situation where we had others that we compared ourselves to that maybe made us feel a little bit about better about ourselves.
Well, and I think too, some of this is not necessarily what has been what we have learned by somebody teaching us that. Some of this, I think, for me looking back at my own life, is really a lot of just scriptures that I misinterpreted. Again, a lot of these just expectations that I put on myself, thinking that I had to be perfect, trying so hard to please people around me, trying so hard to get people's approval. And a lot of that came through working, you know. And I think, too, really recognizing we behave out of what we believe. And so what I believed was I had to get people's approval. Ultimately, I had to get God's approval, and that came through performance, through striving. And there's really never an end when you're on that performance treadmill. It leads to pure exhaustion.
Yeah. And knowing God's standard and knowing that it is perfection and knowing what is true about us, it really takes us in one of two places. Now, very clearly, you and I went to this place of striving, mask wearing, pretending, trying to at least put forth this reputation that we do have it all together. We're as close to perfect as we can be. And then there may be others listening, though, who really don't want anything to do with the church because they know what God's standard is and they know what is true about themselves. And they're like, you know, there's no way I can get there knowing what I know about myself. And so I don't want to be a hypocrite and pretend I'm just not going to have anything to do with the church. And the great news about the gospel is that it's really neither one of those places, that when we really begin to understand the message of grace and what a true scandal it is, then we see that, yes, God's standard is perfection. But he also makes clear the how. How are we supposed to do that? And I love what our pastor says often, is that often in today's evangelical church, we're guilty of being the church of the latter half saints, meaning that we focus on the latter half of Paul's epistles. And so many of those is where he gets to the here's now how you're supposed to live. But the great news is every letter that Paul wrote, he laid a foundation of the gospel, a foundation of grace. And then after laying that foundation, then he gets to the specifics of how then we're supposed to live. Not in our own striving, not in our own effort, not in our own, you know, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and appearing to have it all together, but really through more surrender. Surrender was a concept I didn't really get. I'd heard the concept, I'd sang the song, I Surrender All, but I guess in my world growing up, it was all about surrender was when I became a Christian. And I didn't really know what active surrender looked like after that. So with this whole striving, as Melody alluded to earlier, you may be in that striving part right now, and you're tired, you're worn out, but you really don't really know other ways of doing this.
Well, and I think, you know, coming back to I'm okay, you're okay, this would kind of be in a camp of I'm okay, you're not okay. And me being okay is based on everything that I'm doing. And the legalism sets in sometimes, and then you're sizing yourself up or thinking that you're better than everybody else because of the things that you're doing. Yeah. And so it leads a lot of time to that belief of I'm okay, you're not okay.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of the evangelical church is that, you know, we are okay, and everybody outside of us is not okay. And it leads us often to kind of buy into this idea that we're supposed to live up to a certain standard, and I don't know that if I can do that, so here come the mask. And I know I was very, very good at wearing masks. I could go between masks in milliseconds, size up what a situation required of me, and then would morph into whatever I felt like I needed to be, because my existence was all about other people's approval. I felt like you've heard it in church, maybe if you've been in church any length of time, I was the only Jesus that some people were ever going to see. And so I felt that and lived that as one in my particular story started preaching in high school. And so definitely took that on as the pressure of being that example of Christ. And that's really where my striving came from, is I've got to cover up weakness. I've got to cover up imperfection. I've got to cover up anywhere I'm struggling so that people can see all the great and wonderful things that Jesus has done in my life. What's interesting is we look at the New Testament is Jesus attracted sinners. The people that were struggling, that were in the middle of their mess, were the people that came to him. And that's who he hung out with. The Pharisees didn't really like that. They didn't really understand that. But that's who Jesus hung out with.
Well, and I think, too, when I look back at, I'm just thinking about my own striving and my own performance. There were so many times that I looked at certain stories. Take Martha and Mary. I could so identify with that worn out Martha who's in the kitchen trying to cook this elaborate meal for Jesus instead of Mary who is sitting at the feet of her father and listening to all that he has to say. And I didn't know that it was okay to sit and to rest and to do any of that, that it was about doing. And I think even looking at every part of your life, there wasn't even this freedom to not be good at something. I had to be good at everything, you know, because if there was an opportunity or if, you know, I was at a camp or whatever, there was always, I just could not expose a place in my life where I didn't feel like I was really good at something. And so again, that comes back to all that doing and striving and performance and that type of thing.
Yeah. And my story is very similar. I mean, when we met each other at mm-hmm. Sanford, you know, it was two
Absolutely.
Performers and
we
were like magnets to each other. We were going to go out and save the world. And that's really, you know, our hearts, I think, were in the right place.
Oh yeah, they definitely were.
We just didn't know. We thought again that this standard of perfection was about us making it happen.
Right.
And we had some talents and gifts and did our best to make that happen.
Right.
But our story as we got married even, you know, I think being in the same home, you know, as a performer, you know, when you're single, you can live with kind of the world at arm's length. When you get married, just the close proximity of that community, because mm-hmm. What we discovered is God changes us in the context of community, mm-hmm. and there is no closer community than husband and wife. And I think as we got married, we began to literally see behind the mask. And we mm-hmm. began to realize that, hey, you know, there's some chinks in the armor here. And because of this paradigm we were in, this striving to have it all together, I think we even started performing for each other.
And we've just got to work harder.
Yeah.
You know, to attain that goal. I've got to be Proverbs 31 or I've got to be, you know, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. And it became harder because right. now we've got this other person living with us and we're in close proximity. But what happens because we didn't really have a good understanding of grace in the gospel is we started to resent each other. And because, you know, you were bubbling up stuff in me. And so, you know, I was trying to cover that stuff up and here you were bubbling it up. And, you know, so what I would do is real quickly turn the spotlight back on you. Mm-hmm. And where that took us in our marriage is to this place of, you know, hey, we've got to have it together. And, you know, now we're resenting because mm-hmm. we're living in this belief system that we're supposed to be okay.
Right.
And now in close proximity as husband and wife, we were seeing that, yes, I'm not okay. I kind of knew that to be true about myself, but now there's this other person living with me that's kind of constantly providing almost a mirror of sorts to show me exactly where I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And we wrestle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Others, you know, can't really relate to our story. Maybe you've never really been in church. Maybe because knowing what God's standard is a perfection, knowing that you're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And maybe you said, you know what? I'm not even going to go down that road. I'm not even going to try.
Well, and in all honesty, there's a lot of tired people in the church. There's a lot of worn out women in the church that, again, I mean, we all need, you know, we all have a place. But I think, you know, like for me, for example, I felt like I couldn't say no to anything, that it just was not an option to say no to anything. And that leads to very tired, even can end up a very unhappy person too.
Yeah. And with that, you know, in our marriage, we didn't know how to set boundaries. We didn't know how to say no. We had all these opportunities and, you know, we thought, hey, well, the door's open. I must, you know, I've got to step through it. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how to, mm-hmm. you know, set, you know, boundaries and say no.
So talk a little bit about, I'm not okay, you're okay.
Well, that's really where my belief was. Mm-hmm. The core shame that drove so much of my acting out was this core belief, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down, I know that I'm not okay. And the shame and the difference in shame and guilt, I made a mistake. Shame, I am a mistake. Mm-hmm. At some base level, I am fundamentally flawed.
Right.
I don't measure up. Everybody else has it together. Everybody else seems to be working the formula and making it work. You know, I'm publicly presenting that mask that I have it together, But deep down, I knew I was a fraud. I knew what was really true. In my case, I was exposed to pornography at age of 8. Was a lifelong struggle in secret with that. Nobody in the church was talking about that. You know, if it ever was mentioned, you know, any sexual sin, it was always those heathens outside the church. Mm-hmm. While I was in the church, striving to have it all together, struggling at a significant level with this, but felt completely alone. And again, back to what I said earlier, believe that Christians are supposed to have it together. And where they don't, they struggle in secret until they do.
Right.
So in secret for so many years, I was battling and wrestling with this. Never could bring real community into that and experience healing there because I couldn't dare risk letting somebody else know, even letting you know, mm-hmm. Until ultimately that was all exposed. And that was part of our undoing, you know, process. But the whole striving and keeping those masks in place, the great news of the gospel, what we want to continue to celebrate here on this podcast is that we have the freedom now to take off our masks, that we right. are not defined or validated or affirmed by what we do.
Right.
That was really our belief system, that God had saved us, and it's almost like he's crossed his arm now to watch our behavior. And every day he's either giving us a thumbs up or thumbs down, and it's all about us striving, you know, for our daddy's approval. Mm-hmm. The reality is that we didn't quite get is we already had his approval, that we had 100% approval in spite of our imperfections. And that freed us to be imperfect. It freed us to be human, which I don't think we really ever allowed ourselves to truly be.
Right. And it took life's experiences for us to come to that place, you know, that being divorced for 6 years and living alone began to kind of break apart all these, you know, thoughts that we had, all this expectations that we had, both on ourselves and on others, those. And it really just kind of blew all that out, didn't it?
Yeah, our undoing process was not something that took place in a week and then we were done.
Right.
Our own story, our process of being undone was long in coming. Mm-hmm. It was a process. It was painful. It hurt. It felt like literal hell. But looking back, I think both of us can say it was God loving us well. Mm-hmm. It was uncharted territory for us. It did not fit the life is supposed to be clean and neat and everything's supposed to have a nice little moral bow at the end of every story, because there was a long time in our story we didn't see the lesson, or, you know, here's what God's trying to teach us in this. It was just pain and more pain.
Right. And I think for me, my thought, just as a recovering legalist, was, you know, if Trey will just go get fixed, my life will be back where I want it to be again. Yeah. And that God showed me again, you know, being single and being divorced, that was not necessarily true. That he had some things to undo and to unravel some interpretations that I had put on myself and expectations that I had put on myself. And, you know, just really when life falls apart all around you, it makes you really reassess and relook at things, you know. And there may be some of you out there today that's tired, that's in a real place of crisis, that life is undoing you and you don't know what to do. And somehow you may either think that you are fundamentally flawed, that you're not okay, or some of you may think, like I was thinking, if this person will just either get out of my life or if this person will get fixed, then my life will be okay again. You know, those are some real things to think about.
Well, and I think also what we've come to know that God was writing our story all along.
Right.
That we kind of had this belief also that we'd kind of messed up God's story. Mm-hmm. Definitely that was a core belief that I had, you know, that I was somehow thwarting God, that God was wanting to do this, but yet I kept messing everything up. And so then it was up to me by myself to fix it so that then I could get back on God's plan. And what is so amazing about grace is that God was redeeming that story, mm-hmm. that God, even the mess that I was making through my sin, that God in his sovereignty even was working in that, which I didn't comprehend. I'm still trying to comprehend mm-hmm. How that was taking place. And so you may be listening and you're fighting that undoing process. And so the main thing today, we want to give you permission to be undone, mm-hmm. that the gospel gives us permission to be undone, that grace gives us permission to be undone, not to leave us there, not to again to say, okay, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay, and now we're done, but to realize that that brings us to the end of ourselves where we do surrender to the redemptive work that God is wanting to do in Christ, that He does want to transform us, but it's Him doing the work. Hmm. The great news about the gospel is that He set the standard, knowing that we couldn't meet the standard, and now has provided the means for us to meet it through Christ, mm-hmm. that His Son came, our Savior. Now, the reality is, the way I was living for 30 years, thinking that I had it all together, I didn't really need a Savior, mm-hmm. because I felt like I was doing pretty good on my own. But the more I see my brokenness, the more I see my sin, the more I realize how desperate daily I am for a Savior, not just before I got saved, but today I have to preach the gospel to myself and be reminded that I need Him. One of the guys that I follow, Tully Chavijian, who is the pastor down at Coral Ridge, he tweeted last week kind of along these lines. He says, I'm paraphrasing, but messages of do more, try harder don't lead us to do more and try harder. Mm. It leads us to give up.
Not only give up, I think for me, it could lead to despair. I just cannot do this. So why even try? You know, again, just like you said earlier, you know, those that are looking at the church, seeing tired, even sometimes unhappy people, you know, why would I participate in that? Why would I join that?
Yeah. And I think for me, I giving up was not really an option. I'd given up, mm-hmm. kind of mentally maybe, but I was still going through the motions, and I kind of had become the shell of a man in that. This whole discussion, this whole idea of scandalous grace is really what Undone Redone is all about. Mm-hmm. We hope that, obviously we haven't answered all of the questions today. We're going to continue this dialogue on our Facebook page at facebook.com/undone redone. We've already had some great discussion about this particular topic, specifically about Pastor Tullian's tweet. But, you know, this is not a discussion that's just for our day.
Right.
Martin Luther had a friend that he was struggling with some of the same stuff. And I just wanted to kind of share as we're closing some of his thoughts, because there may be still some people thinking, man, these guys are completely off. You know, God's standard is perfection. That's the bottom line. And I just need to figure out how to do that. Consider what Luther in his letter to a friend of his, he said, "Now I'd like to know whether your soul, tired of her own righteousness, would learn to breathe and confide in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, my sweet brother, learn Christ and Him crucified. Learn to pray to Him, despairing of yourself, saying, 'Thou, Lord Jesus, art my righteousness.'" And he goes on to say, "Beware of aspiring to such purity that you will not wish to seem to yourself or to be a sinner, for Christ only dwells in sinners." And I think, Melody, really sum up, we didn't want to allow ourselves to be a sinner because of this belief that we had to strive to be perfect. And so the mask that we were so good at wearing was this mask of perfection. I've got it all together. And so it really was a lonely place because we had to keep everybody at arm's length, mm-hmm. because of that.
I think too, you know, what are people going to say if I say no to something, mm-hmm. or what's going to happen if I do say no to something, you know? And I think just being able to rest, knowing that God loves us, and rest in the gospel, knowing that it is okay to take the masks off. It is okay to say, "I'm not okay."
Yeah.
Because the gospel is true.
Yeah, that's right. And then we begin to really allow people to get to know us.
Right.
And that's terrifying, but also so liberating at the same place. I remember thinking, if other people really knew me and my struggles, they would be running for the exits, mm-hmm. and would not want to be in the same zip code. But as I've really begun to experience community, what I have discovered is just the opposite is true. That yes, they know me, but as I'm now connecting with others at a place of weakness, that they're not running for the exits. Mm-hmm. They're actually identifying and coming toward me. And now together in authentic community, we can look to a Savior.
Right.
Rather than trying to impress each other with how we've got it together and all the boxes that we're checking.
It's funny that you say that. There's a counselor friend of mine that's in town, and she says that time after time, women come in a room, and they like say, all right, tell me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to do to fix this or to do this or whatever. And she said, why would I tell them, you know, this missing piece or this missing link, or why would I tell them everything that they're desiring to know? Because then I wouldn't even want to have a cup of coffee with them, you know, and that it's in this struggle, it's in this process of being undone where we can take those masks off, where we can connect with one another.
That's right.
And it not be okay, that we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to pick and choose to do everything all the time. And there is some freedom in that we can do the things that we do well, and we can allow other people to do things as well and connect at those places instead of always outperforming one another.
That's right. And that's the body being the body, that now where what I grew up believing is that I couldn't let anybody know if I was hurting or struggling. And so the body couldn't minister to those broken places because the body didn't know. Mm. It's like, you know, pinky finger's about to fall off, but pinky finger's pretending like everything is together.
Right.
For true
right.
body life to happen, we've got to let everybody know this is what's true. This is what's real. This is what's behind the mask, and we can be real about that. One thing that we have both, I know, gotten a lot out of as it relates to this, and I just want to share in closing today, and this is an idea, obviously, we'll continue to be unpacking, but catechisms were something that we didn't really grow up with in our tradition. Listeners have never heard the word catechism, but basically catechisms were just the way traditionally the church has taught children matters of faith.
Mm-hmm.
One particular catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, I've really grown to love. Question 60 particularly, I think, speaks to this issue. The question is, how are you right with God? And that is really what we've been talking about.
Right.
You know, if it's not okay, if it's okay to not be okay, which is mm-hmm. what we've been mm-hmm. talking about, then how are we right with God? I mean, how then can we meet the standard of perfection? And I think the way and the wording of question 60 of Heidelberg Catechism, you know, spells it out beautifully. It says, the answer only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, and here's the good news, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. And even as I read that, I'm reminded how grace was for so many years not amazing to me, because it was all about what Trey was or was not doing. It was all about my own record of righteousness, checking off the boxes. But when this began to sink in and I began to understand grace at this level, that it was as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, that is good news. And that is truly a scandal, and it's truly amazing.
Well, and I think too, you just said it so well, Trey, is that the purpose of the law is not to keep or maintain or see the law. The purpose of the law is to see our need for grace.
Absolutely.
And that is an everyday place of surrender, just like you said a minute ago, but being able to rest in my Heavenly Father, and being able to do now, because I know He's smiling and He sees me through the lens of Christ, not to do things in order to make Him smile.
That's right. That's a game changer. Absolutely. The ways you can get in touch with us, again, we are thrilled to be embarking on this new podcast journey with you. We hope you'll tell some friends about this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of friends that we have gotten to know in our journey that we want to introduce you to, that we hope to have here in the studio or via phone with us. Looking forward to that. On Twitter, you can find Melody at M Lovern. That's L-O-V as in Victor, V as in Victor, O-R-N. I'm at T Lovern. T-L-O-V-V-O-R-N. We're also, as I mentioned earlier, on Facebook. Tell your friends to join us there at facebook.com/undone redone. And you'll see and find our Facebook page there. We also can be contacted via email. Melody is melody@undoneredone.com, and I'm at trailer, T-R-A-Y-L-O-R, at undoneredone.com. Guys, we are thrilled about this discussion. We know that we've just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg, but know that it is true that I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. We hope you'll join us next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.